Of you on your social media platforms for YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, and get the opportunity to heart, like, share, subscribe. For those of you that are phone listening, welcome. And if you don't know how to do that, you can contact the church office and they'll set you up with a phone number for being able to use your telephone during this time. For those of you at home, if you'll go over to the info tab, you can see the worship bulletin, and that has all the things that are going on this week and also the prayer list, and we'll be talking about that in just a minute. We'll be going over the prayer list. And I don't remember, you know, you sit out here and you listen to this stuff over and over and over and over again, but when you come to leading it, you can't remember what went first and what went last. So right now, we're going to do a song. And if you know this song, sing it like you know it. Don't sing it like it's written, because we're not going to do it just exactly like the notes are written. But we're going to do Lord, I'm Coming Home. Y'all stand now and let's sing hymn 309. Just don't pay any attention to the notes other than singing the right notes. Ms. Gail? Sit down, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today, for your blessings, for the beautiful sunshine, and for the opportunities to even gather the way we do as we are tonight. Lord, I pray you make our minds and hearts receptive to what Brother Jim will be sharing with us in a bit, and I pray that you just be with those that aren't in attendance or those going through special needs, and some we'll talk about in a minute with a prayer list. Lord, just thank you for the opportunity to be here, and thank you for our church. Thank you for your son, most of all, in Christ's name. Amen. Now, let's look at the prayer list. Let's look at the HBC family first. I'm going to skip and just go right down those pretty quick. If you know any updates, stop me, please. Carolyn S.W. Stone, Art Hargrove, Bessie Farrell, Mark Raymond, Sandra Wells, Jewel Farrell, Bill Warren, Rick German, and Kay Williams. Now, that's names that's been on our list for some time. I don't guess you got any update on Kay? Miss Amy, any update on Amy? Okay, so Miss Amy has more before her and some of the treatment that she's gonna have to do. Continue to remember George Duncan and Kay Fox. Kay's surgery was delayed. Anybody have an update on her? Okay. Ken Tatum is still doing his treatment. And Diane for her hip issues and also taking care of Ken. Linda Miller is still having issues with her blood pressure. Doug Ridings and Tony Rogers are recovering from their surgeries and continue to remember Leanne Wells. As far as our friends and family are concerned, remember Ukraine, the people of Ukraine and Israel, and the missions that will be going to Calgary this year for the mission trips. Going down about three quarters of the way, well, my dad and mom still. Jimmy Hasty's recovering still. Pray for the music search committee that they can find a person that needs to be in this position right here, right now. Pray hard. Family of Terry Zona, Jack Young, he's on our list, he does have cancer. Herb Hester's recovering, John Garrison is recovering from surgery, and Tom Watson, a friend of Mindy Tant. As far as our nursing home, we have Bertie Davis, Beverly Daniel, Gordon Jackson, Hoyt Farrell, and my mom. Mom's doing well. Any updates on any of those? If not, let's pray again. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you now with this list of names, and I pray that, Lord, each one, you already know their needs, and you're there with them right now, or the families. Lord, I pray for those caregivers and the medical staffs that are taking care of folks. And Lord, we don't always know what the next day holds, but we know who's going to be there waiting on us when we get there. I pray that you just heal these that are part of your will, and Lord, I pray that you just hold them close. Thank you for those that are here tonight, Lord. May we take the words and apply them to our lives and know that you are with us and that we can depend on you in all things. Lord, may we seek you in all that we do. Love you, and thank you for Brother Jim sharing with us tonight. In Christ's name, amen.
Can you hear me? Can y'all give me a thumbs up from down there? All right, I see the thumbs up. Take your Bibles tonight. I've been on my storm chase trip, came back for just a little bit, and now I'm back out again. There was some great structure behind me of clouds earlier, but now it's gone kind of what they call milky behind me, so I've lost some of that structure. But take your Bibles tonight and turn to Isaiah chapter 50. Verse 1 down through verse 10. I've entitled tonight's message, Surviving the Darkest of Days. You won't see any of the slides that you normally see on the screen. I wasn't able to figure out how to do that part with my live video here, but you'll get the message. Jot down some notes of some of the scriptures that we'll look at. But Isaiah 50, verse 1 through 10, we want to just go ahead and go through the whole chapter here to begin with, and then we'll come back and look at just two of those verses that are there in that. So, am I sideways? Do I need to turn mine, or am I good? Okay, I'm good. All right. So verse 1 of chapter 50 begins and says, "Where is your mother's certificate of divorce with which I sent her away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities you were sold. For your transgressions your mother was sent away. Why, when I came, was there no man? Why, when I called, was there no one to answer? Is my hand shortened that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, by my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a desert. Their fish stink for lack of water and die of thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness and make sackcloth their covering. The Lord has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hide not my face from disgrace and spitting." Verse 7, "But the Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Behold, all you who kindle a fire, who equip yourselves with burning torches, walk by the light of your fire and by the torches that you have kindled. This you have from my hand, you shall lie down in torment." You know, as we look at those verses there, we see here, let me get something off my screen. Here we go. We see here that we're going to find out in this passage that it's sometimes as God's people, we go through darkness. And sometimes we can't see ahead. Sometimes nothing seems to make sense. Maybe we have a wayward child. Maybe we have a financial reversal. Maybe there's a broken fellowship. And we just don't seem to be able to make sense of anything. Now, we listen to our sermons. We study our lessons. We tend to have our little formulas that we've figured out. We've written down our promises, and we think we've got it all figured out. And just about the time we have it all figured out, we're plunged into a deep, deep confusion and despair. So I suppose a question that pastors are often asked more than any other question is this one word: why? Pastor, tell me, why should such a precious little girl die at such an early age? Pastor, tell me, why should I not carry this baby to term? Pastor, tell me why my wife has treated me this way and walked away from a perfectly wonderful marriage and her children. Tell me, Pastor, why? 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 Well, after preaching for a little while, I found out that why is not our question. God has the answer to that. How is the important thing to us? How are we going to react? What do we do when the lights go out, when nothing seems to make sense? Well, you know, we feel like we could bear up under almost anything if we just knew why. But when we're suffering and it doesn't make sense, that's the hard part. So here's the question: what do you do when the lights go out? So that's what we want to look at tonight, the discipline of darkness. And so I want to give you some points from these two verses. We're actually going to look at verse 10 and verse 11. The first thing is this, is that those with the greatest devotion may know the deepest darkness. Those with the greatest devotion may know the deepest darkness. So if you look again at verse 10, you're going to find out that God isn't talking to someone who has wandered far away, needs to come home. We're talking about someone who fears the Lord. That doesn't mean that he cringes at the idea of God. Fear is love on its knees. It's a reverential fear, reverential awe of who God is. So a person who has great respect and reverence for God and who obeys the voice of God's servant when the word of God is preached, they want to say, "Yes, Lord, I will obey you." And yet, sometimes, even when we try to obey the Lord, it seems like we walk in darkness. Understand this, there's no fine print in the contract. And I want to tell you that if you're considering becoming a Christian, it's not all sweetness and light. Sometimes we overpromise as Christians in order to show, somehow get people to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a distorted idea that if you become a Christian, it'll be all joy and all light and all sweetness and just roses all throughout life. Some think that there'll be no sickness and no sorrow, but we're just going to go through life and it's going to get better and better, more health and success, and then we're just going to die at a peaceful old age and then have a wonderful exit and go to heaven. It'd be nice if it happens that way, but here's the truth. It generally doesn't. There's no need to deny it. There are thousands of saints that fear God, that obey God, and yet they're walking in darkness. So as you study the Bible, you're going to find out that was true of Bible saints. For example, you think of Job. Job was an upright man, a perfect man. He feared God, and yet Job was in darkness. Put it in verse 8. Job 19, verse 8. Job says, "He has walled up my way so that I cannot pass, and he has set darkness upon my path." Who did that? God has done that. God set the darkness in the path of righteous, good Job. And Job said, "Lord, I just don't understand this." You can read over in the book of Habakkuk about Habakkuk the prophet. Habakkuk went to God and he wanted to get some answers about things that he couldn't answer. Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 2, Habakkuk 1 and verse 2, you can write that down in your notes, says, "O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear, or cry to you violence and you will not save?" So Habakkuk was saying, "God, I have stained heaven with my prayers. Where are you, God? God, it doesn't make sense." And then you read about John the Baptist. John the Baptist, was he a great man? Sure. You better believe it. Jesus said there was not a greater born of woman than John the Baptist. And yet John the Baptist got down in a dungeon and he was in darkness and he couldn't understand. He got so perplexed, you remember, that he even sent messengers to ask of Jesus in Matthew 11 and in Luke 7 and said to Jesus, "Are you really the Messiah? Are you really, or should we look for somebody else?" Now, that wasn't a bad man who was saying that. That was a good man who was deeply confused. You can also read about Paul. Not a greater Christian ever lived than the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul yet said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8, he said, "We are perplexed." And you say, "Paul, come on, you must have been backslidden." He wasn't backslidden, not at all. He said, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair." Paul knew that darkness didn't have to put him in despair. I'll tell you something else. If you read outside the Bible, you read some of the biographies of the history of the great saints, there's hardly a one of them that doesn't speak of some time that they call the dark night of the soul, when they have gone through darkness and despair. So in verse 10, we're talking about a person who fears the Lord, who obeys God. If you're in darkness right now yourself, if you're plunged into darkness, if things don't make sense to you, that doesn't mean necessarily that you've sinned. It may be that, but it doesn't necessarily mean that, or it doesn't necessarily mean that you're out of the will of God. Because remember our proposition here, our point here, those with the greatest devotion may know the deepest darkness. The second point I want us to see is this, that faith that is born in the light is often developed in the dark. So let me ask you a question. When have you grown the most spiritually? When it was all sunlight and roses, or when there was darkness and difficulty and despair and heartache and tears? Aren't those the times in the darkness that you've grown the most? See, faith is kind of like film. You know, we used to do this. We don't do this anymore with digital age, but the faith is like the old-fashioned film. It's developed in the darkness. Let me tell you about three men named John and see what happened to these men when they were in the darkness. For example, one was John Milton. John Milton was blind. He was in the darkness of his blindness, and he wrote one of the greatest books ever written called Paradise Lost. Another was a man named John Bunyan. He was put in the Bedford prison and suffered there in darkness and despair in many ways. But John Bunyan, in this time of darkness, wrote Pilgrim's Progress, again, a book that has blessed the world. There's another man named John who was on the island of Patmos. You know of him, exiled on the island there for his testimony for Jesus Christ. That John wrote the book of Revelation. And I'm telling you that there's faith that is developed in the darkness. And God wants to develop our faith. A wise man said, never doubt in the dark what you've learned in the light. Never doubt in the dark what you've learned in the light. Your faith born in the light grows in the dark. Now, by the way, the test of your character is what you do in the dark. The test of your character isn't what you're doing here right now in this sanctuary, but the test of your character is what you do in those dark times. And so when your character is being tested, let me give you three things that you can do. One is this: look to the Lord. Now, how does God develop our faith in darkness? Well, there's a couple of things here to do two things if you're in the darkness. Look again at verse 10. He says, who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light. Now, here's what he tells you to do. Trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. So number one is look to the Lord, trust in the Lord. Warren Wiersbe said it this way: we live by promises, not by explanation. So that great wisdom, we live by promises, not by explanation. So don't demand that God explain something to you. Just stay on his word. Just because it doesn't make sense doesn't mean that it doesn't make sense. And just because it doesn't make sense to you now doesn't mean that it won't make sense to you later on. Another great man, Thomas Watson, said, where reason cannot wade, faith must swim. Where reason cannot wade, faith must swim. So just trust God. Just keep on trusting. Keep on obeying God. And if you're praying and darkness comes, don't stop praying. Just keep on praying, even when you don't feel like it. Adrian Rogers used to say, don't bring to God the brass of your emotions. Come even in the darkness with both hands filled with the incense of his worth and just keep on praying. If you've been living for the Lord and the darkness comes and nothing seems to make sense to you, don't stop living for the Lord. Just keep on. If you've been giving and now it seems like everything's turned upside down, you lose your job, everything seems to be wiped out, don't stop giving. Just keep on giving. If your spouse that you've been trying to win, who's unsaved, you're trying to win them to Jesus, and they just keep getting more and more difficult and more difficulty keeps coming, you just keep on loving them. If you've been praising God and then everything seems to go wrong, don't stop praising God. When you don't understand, when you don't feel like it, lift your hands by faith and praise the Lord. Trust him. So look to the Lord. And then the second thing he tells us is rely or lean on the Lord. Remember that verse 10 there again? Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Now, that word rely there is the root word that's used in Psalm 23 and verse 4 when it says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That staff was something that the shepherd would rely upon, that he would lean on. So rely on God. Lean on the Lord. When you're in the dark, you don't need an explanation. What you need is God. Lean on God. Somebody said, it's better to be in a dark valley leaning on God than on a sunlit peak without him. Sometimes we may not know why, in order that we might know who. And so sometimes God removes all the answers to give us himself. There's a great gospel song that used to be sang years ago that when answers aren't enough, there is Jesus. In David, in the Psalm 23, he was talking about his theology when he said in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He was talking about God. But then he went, when he gets in the dark valley, he says in Psalm 23, verse 4, yea, though, or even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. He's not talking about God now. He's talking to God. And I mean, he's having a relationship with God that he couldn't have had in the light. So just rely on God. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you're going to find Jesus. This is what God taught in the book of Job. Job said, God, you've headed me off at the pass. You've sent darkness into my path. God, you owe me some answers. Job says, I wish I could see you. I could talk with you. It's almost like, God, I want to bring you into court. Where are you, God? Because I want to bring this case before you. You owe me some answers. God doesn't owe us any answers. The book of Job ends with Job never understanding. We understand what happened to Job because we read the book of Job. But Job didn't have the book of Job when Job was going through all that darkness. He was just stumbling. He says in Job 13, verse 15, Job 13, verse 15, though he slay me, I will hope or trust in him. And Job discovered what we need to discover, that a relationship is more important than a reason. When you don't have the reason and you just have God. If you're walking in darkness, Isaiah 50:10 says, rely on your God. Now you say, preacher, I'm not in darkness. Well, just hold on. Just wait a little while. This is some good things for you to kind of put on the shelf, some medicine, if you will, on the shelf. There's going to come a time where you're going to find out that not only is God necessary, you'll find that God is enough. The third thing we need to do also and realize also is that some things are seen in the dark that cannot be seen in the light. And you're going to understand some things in the darkness that you would never have understood in the light. Go back up in Isaiah 50 to verse 3 through verse 4. And notice what he says in verse 3 and verse 4. He says, I clothe the heavens with blackness. Now, who says that? It's God. God's the one who's sending the darkness. And make sackcloth their covering. Now, sackcloth is just a dark cloth. God said, I pulled a veil over the sun. The Lord God, he says, has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. So what does all of that mean? You're going to wake up and you're going to realize that in the darkness of your life, you are learning some things. There are some treasures of darkness. Now the Bible uses, when it uses darkness, sometimes the Bible uses darkness as a symbol of evil. But sometimes the Bible also uses darkness as a symbol of confusion. There are treasures in the darkness. If you were to go back to Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 3, you remember where God is speaking about this Persian king named Cyrus that's going to come. God said to Cyrus this. He said, I will give you the treasures of darkness. Think about that. Treasures of darkness. There are some things that are seen in the dark, treasures that can't be seen in light. For example, have you ever heard anybody say, the stars are out tonight? Well, guess what? They're out in the daytime. The stars don't go away in the daytime. You just don't see them in the daytime. The only time you see the stars is at night. And the stars are there to praise the Lord. Psalm 148, verse 3 says, praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. But you would never have a star to praise God if it weren't for the darkness. Those stars that are there are like sparkling lights in the velvet blackness of night. Those stars are in the light. We can see what is near. You know, in the light, we see what is near. In the dark, we can see what's far away. In the light, we may see more clearly, but in the night, you can see further. There are just certain things that you see in the darkness that you can't see in the daytime. Now, you may think that your brightest thoughts are in the daytime, but you'll think your deepest thoughts in the nighttime. In the times of darkness, there are going to be certain treasures of darkness. There are things that are seen in the dark that you'll never see in the light. The third point we need to get from these verses is this, is that it's better for you to be leaning on God in the darkness than standing alone in your man-made light. That's what verse 11 goes on to say. He says, behold, all of you who kindle a fire, who equip yourselves with burning torches, walk by the light of your fire and by the torches that you have kindled. This you have from my hand, you shall lie down in torment. So notice some things about this. Darkness has been ordained of God. And one of the greatest dangers of darkness is that you may be tempted to light your own fire, that you may be tempted to shine your own light. But remember that if the darkness comes to you and you're fearing God, you're trying to obey God and serve God, and then the darkness comes, that means that the darkness has been ordained of God. Remember what verse 3 said, I clothe the heavens with blackness. That is, the darkness is ordained of God. So don't ever get the idea that darkness can chase away light. Think about that. If you're in a lighted room, you can't open the door and let in the dark. No, the light chases away the dark. The dark can never chase away the light. So the only way that darkness can come is what? For the light to be removed. So if the light has been removed, that means that God, in His sovereignty, has allowed you to be in the darkness. It means that God has a reason for you to be in the darkness, even if you don't understand it. It's God who has clothed the heavens with sackcloth. It is God who has done that. And if God has done that, don't be so foolish as to light your own fire. When you light your own fire, you're going to get into difficulty because you're going to try to undo what God has done. Man-made fire, man-made light, is also deceptive. If you're walking in the light of the fire, the sparks that you've kindled, you're not going to have a sure guide. It's taking a flashlight and going out at midnight and looking at a sundial to see what time it is. I mean, that's your own man-made light. You see, God says, if you do this when you're in darkness, if you light your own fire, He says, this you have from My hand, you will lie down in torment. You're asking for it, He's saying. You're going to have great difficulty when you, in a time of God-ordained darkness, light your own fire. So often that happens to us. We take matters into our own hands, and we make a worse situation of it. I want to give you three examples of that. First example is Abraham. God said to Abraham in a time of light, in Genesis 22, verse 17, He said, I'm going to give you a son, and this son is going to bless the world, and he's going to be a son of a miracle. And through this son, all the promises, Abraham, that I have given to you will be fulfilled, and you're going to have descendants like the sand of the seashore, like the stars. Year after year passed, and no son. Finally, Abraham and Sarah, you remember, they got together, and they said, you know, we better help out God. So Sarah had the Egyptian handmaiden, whose name was Hagar, and Sarah said to Abraham in Genesis 16, verse 2, why don't you have relations with Hagar? Maybe she can conceive, and then you can have your son. You know what he was doing when he agreed to do that? He was lighting his own fire. He was trying to help God out because it was darkness and he couldn't understand it. So what he did was to light his own fire, and Ishmael was born. And for centuries and millenniums that have passed through the times, the offspring of Abraham had been lying down in sorrow. Here was a man who could not trust God, but he took matters into his own hand with no direction, no command from God, and lit his own fire. And then he and his offspring are lying down in sorrow. You think of Simon Peter. Remember, Jesus told Simon Peter, Simon, I'm going to the cross. And Simon said, no, Lord, this will never be. And Jesus said, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith would not fail. And remember, Peter said, oh, Lord, I'm going to go with you to prison. I'm going to go with you to death. But then that night in the darkness of Gethsemane, when it was dark, things didn't make sense. Here was Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and they're taking him prisoner. Nothing was making sense. And rather than believing what God had shown him in the light, in the darkness, you remember what Simon did, Peter did? He drew his sword, and he goes to cut off the ear of the high priest's servant named Malchus. And as a result, you see Simon Peter off over there doing what? Weeping bitterly. He wept. Why? Because he tried to light his own fire. And he's lying down in darkness, lying down in sorrow because of that weeping bitterly. Now, here's the thing we need to understand. It's better for you to be leaning on God in the darkness than standing alone in your man-made light. And finally, here's the last thing. If your sun has set, it will rise again. If you're in the darkness, the sun, S-O-N, will rise again. Notice verse 4 in chapter 50. It says, the Lord has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning, he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. So when you go through darkness and you come out, you'll know some things that other people won't. That's what the second part of verse 4 is saying there. He awakens my ear to hear as those who have learned, those who have taught. So knowing this, there's a better day coming. If you're in the darkness right now, trust God. If you're in the darkness right now, lean on God. If you're in the darkness right now, don't light your own fire. Trust God. I'm telling you, He will turn your hurts to hallelujahs. He'll turn your Calvary to an Easter. Your mourning will come. Psalm 112, verse 4 says, light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, "For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime." You remember that famous passage? "Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning." Don't you love that? Weeping may endure for a night. You may lie down, you may wet your pillow with tears, but I'm telling you, there's a better day coming. There's a better time coming. One of these days, God is going to pull the shades back of the night and pin them with a star and open the door of the morning and flood your world with the sunshine of his light. And you're going to see things that you've never seen before more clearly than you've ever seen them before. When he awakens you in the morning, you will awaken with the tongue of the learned. There was an artist who painted a great painting. He had wanted his friend to come see his painting. So he invited his friend to come and see it, and his friend came down this busy street, went in. The artist said, "Come in here. I want you to see. So sit in this room. I'm going to turn out all the lights, and I want you to sit in the darkness for 15 minutes before I show you my painting." So the man did it. Then he was taken out of the darkness, brought into the gallery to look at the painting. And he said, "It's beautiful. It's magnificent." He said, "Why did you want me to just come in this room and sit in the darkness?" And the artist said this, "It's because you had the glare of the light of the streets in your eyes, and I wanted you to be able to appreciate the richness of my colors." He said, "You wouldn't have been able to do it until the glare was gone." You know, I think sometimes that we're so dazzled by this world. Sometimes there's just so much glitz and glamour and so much glare that God in his love just lets us know something of the treasures of darkness, allows the darkness to come in so that we have to rely on him. There are some who are here right now. You may have some deep, deep hurts, and you've got some big, big questions. And you're trying as best you know how to love God, and you fear God, and you're obeying God, and nothing seems to make sense. Trust him. Lean on him. In your deepest, darkest sorrow, the eyes of your heavenly Father are upon you. Trust him and learn the treasures of the darkness. Let me say one last word, and we're going to have a prayer. If you're not a child of God, you're listening to this online, or maybe you're there in person tonight, and you've never trusted by faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you're not trusting God, if you're not relying on God, there's another kind of darkness. It's called everlasting darkness. For those who don't know Jesus Christ, you will go into this from this life into an eternal, everlasting darkness. Without Jesus, the sun will never rise for you. So I want you to know Jesus. I want you to trust in Jesus because he is the light of the world. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we have technology like this, that we can be together in person, even to hear your word. I pray this word is spoken to someone tonight, Lord, maybe someone who's going through the deep darkness of their life. Lord, one of the things we know is we're either in the darkness, coming out of the darkness, or we're about to enter into the darkness. And so, Father, I pray that we would be ready, Lord, that we would know that even in the darkness, you've got a lesson to teach us. You've got a purpose for allowing it to come into our lives. So I pray, God, that you would help us to be at peace, to trust you, to rely upon you, to wait upon you, to remember that you have that purpose and that there are some lessons that we cannot learn any other way unless we're in the darkness. So help us, Lord. Lord, especially for those who don't know Christ, I pray that the darkness they are in, Lord, would be made light by them trusting in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Lord, if they don't know Christ and they want to, I pray, God, that they would call out to you and say, "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I believe Jesus died on the cross, was buried in the tomb, and arose on the third day. Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life and save me and help me to live for you the rest of the days of my life." And Father, someone's prayed something like that tonight. I pray they'd talk to one of the Christians who are there tonight. They'd be glad to talk with them. If it's someone who's online, Father, I pray they'll reach out to us online. But I ask your blessings upon us, Lord, as we go through dark trials, even as believers, to know we're not immune from the darkness. Father, I pray that you would help us to trust in the light of your truth, to trust in the light of your word, that's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path to guide us in the darkness, lest we stumble. So, Father, help us to get in your word. Help us to draw near to you. Help us to trust in you. Bless us, Lord, and keep us safe until we come back together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining with us tonight there in person as well as online. Look forward to seeing everybody this coming Saturday. Don't forget, Vacation Bible School kickoff is from 5 to 7. I'll be there for that. And then Sunday, we have our Sunday morning worship service, 9:15 for Sunday school, 10:30 for worship. Come and join us in person if you can. If you can't, join us here on all these social media platforms, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and our phone live streaming. So thank you for being with us tonight. You have a blessed week, a safe week, and we'll see you this coming Sunday.